Bonjour and welcome to Le Bon, La Brute et le Rugby. It's time for France 2023. 7 weeks of great sport, great food and delicious wine, all in the company of the three musketeers, Monsieur James Haskell, Michel Tindall and Alexandre Le Payne. Have fun, but not as much fun as you did in New Zealand 2011, but fun nonetheless. Bon voyage!
For the last time at France 2023, welcome along everybody to the Good, the Bad and the Rugby, brought to you by our very good friends at Continental Tires. There is a definite feeling of the morning after the night before. We were meant to be on a roof terrace with the sunshine behind us, with the Eiffel Tower in the distance. Instead, it is pouring in Paris. I can promise you the Tour Eiffel is somewhere out there, but it just all feels a little bit like the party's wrapped up. Ben is alongside, having commentated on most of?
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of the games. Yep. Nice to have you with us. Tins is alongside too. I'm going to start with you. How is your timeline off the back of last night?
No, actually, the timeline's pretty good. I was very lucky to be with the guys from DHL, so I had nothing to do yesterday. I only had to go and watch the game with them. We talked about this. To go back, the hat-trick of one-pointers is unreal. I think they were hanging on by a dear thread at the like a very, 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 very thin thread at the end. But I think New Zealand will look, will wake up kicking themselves because they could have won. And they should, maybe should, but that's what South Africa do.
Let's start with, well done, South Africa. As you mentioned, it was an extraordinary run to the final. It was an extraordinary pool to get out of as well.
Best, look, you might look into games, but best World Cup win ever.
Yep.
In terms of the games they've played. They've played probably 4 World Cup finals, so you've got to give them credit for that.
How do you cut it from the commentary box?
Look, since the quarterfinal, it really has felt like I had a romantic breakup. On the Monday, I felt empty, alone, couldn't text anybody.
And it's then violin music.
No, hang on. And then came back to the semis. And then basically my ex-wife was with her new fella on the pitch, you know, and he's bigger, brighter and richer than me. So the final has just been rubbing it in even more. It's been it's raining. Our French hearts are raining, and we're just sad. It feels that everything's wrapped up. But if you try to look at the glass half full, like Tin said, they are some world champions. They've gone through adversity like there's nothing. I think it's been a leadership and a management masterclass by Rassie Rasmus and his coaching staff, which has been entertaining too, just the way, you know, even when he called the lineup before the England game. I think the fact that he wins the game by dropping his number 10, who's been his starter for the last 2 years, and nobody seems to care. He takes his captain out at 44th minute of a quarterfinal. He doesn't care. So there is a culture of the team first, nobody is more important than our team, that I really enjoy in this rugby where we think, you know, where have our values gone? Is it not more star-driven rather than and team-driven? Well, they have shown that it's 150% team-driven. And like Tin said, 3 times winning by 1 point against France, who was the red hot favourites, you know, under a tremendous amount of support from the stands. And then with the conditions against England and backing it up, they still lost Bongi and Mbonambi after 2 minutes. I mean, that's like the worst of the worst that could have happened to them. To put on a guy who got his first cap at 34, 35 years old for Dion Fury, who's not really a hooker either, who's more of a flanker and has been playing flanker for 2.5 years, and who plays a monster game. So you're like, yes, things have not been perfect. Definitely referee calls that will be super challenged, especially in that quarterfinal. But in the end, it's a world-class team that has delivered back-to-back world championships. You got to say fair play, well done. They are some champions.
It was billed as the battle of the greatest, 3 each coming in. Does this make South Africa the greatest rugby nation?
No, I think... Arguably, they are the greatest World Cup team.
Yeah, exactly.
They are built for World Cups. We've talked about this before. 7-1 was potentially risky, and when Bongi goes off very early, it becomes. And in all fairness, I was sort of talking to mates throughout the game, and Cheslin was always going down. I was like, if Cheslin goes off, where do they go? And but it ends up in the fact at the end where he gets a yellow card. New Zealand should have just attacked them wide all the time. when you lose a winger, especially a winger, that tackle, by the way, by Cheslin Kolbe, Will Jordan stepped in and he fucking picked him up, and then Quagga ripped the ball. We go into that game and I said to you, well, you asked me last week to pick who's the most important person. Quagga Smith was, you know, came on, turned the ball over three times, and, you know, he just got the, you know, someone who you can rely on to get the job done. But I thought it was there for New Zealand. I just didn't, for the first time ever, they didn't take it. I feel they could have walked through the door, and they didn't. But that's what South Africa do, and you have to doff your cap to everything that they are in World Cups, because they find a way.
In terms of Rassie and Jack Nienaber, is that the greatest coaching duo? 2019 Lions, 2023 through the hardest route to a World Cup lift.
Look, I'm not insightful enough about how it actually goes on inside, about who takes the decisions. In my mind, it feels that there's an overwhelming presence of Rassie Rasmus, right? Yeah. He can be side coach, you know, assistant coach, whatever you want. He is the brains of the operation. I'm not taking anything away from probably the technical genius of Nienaber, but I really do feel that the masterclass of leadership and strategy wasn't so much technical. It was analytical. It was strategy. Look, how many times are we going to underpin the fact that this, you know, calling Mark and asking for a scrum is just an absolute genius move. Mm. The last scrum call against England was extremely difficult to call. And was it the right call? I'm not sure. But nobody underlines as much that Ben O'Keefe actually was refereeing the five scrums before that were created out of absolutely nothing. That is strategic genius. When he, you know, manages to pull his fly half at the 31st minute of the semi-final, that is the first time you're humble enough to say, it's not working. Let's act upon it right now. But he's also built a culture where guys can come in, come out, swapped in, swapped out, and nobody's going to kick a can on the sideline and kick up a fuss. So I really do think there's been an absolute masterclass at managing this whole emotional roller coaster that is this competition, and that maybe it's a duo, but Rassie is definitely the brains. He's a wizard. He's a wizard that I've really enjoyed, looking... just having fun at doing his absolute best. And I really do think that's where they just had the edge on everybody else. Ian Foster, technically probably outstanding. I'm not sure they played out anything. They didn't have any special tricks in their pockets. You know, Steve Borthwick, very, very good, I'm sure, at what he does. Not a trick. Fabien Galthié, outstanding. He got outplayed in the quarterfinals. You know, I still remember the team lineup when Rassie wanted to have this press conference that he pushed for 24 hours. No, we were going to push. We're not going to call our team, because we're still thinking, are we going to do a 7-1 or a 6-2? We're just not sure, because Fabien can pick this guy. He's already playing games. Yeah. He picks a 5-3 the following day. And Fabien, you know, was almost surprised. So he is a master. He is a masterly, skillful wizard, and he's really paid off.
See ya.
Yeah.
If Jonah is the all-time GOAT and sort of the game changer, yeah, Kartra McCaw as players.
You're going on different GOATs here.
Oh, sure, but is Sia now a sort of rugby statesman on a global level? Not necessarily for what he's done as a player, but for the impact, the leadership, the charisma that he has.
We said this on the Petty Pod last week. You know, this team is the most representative team of South Africa in terms of where people's histories and backgrounds are from. And... you know, he is the leader of that, and the way he talks to the referee.
He spoke brilliantly after the final.
The way
he
talks to the referee, the way he holds himself, the way he sings an anthem. You know, that is for any young kid watching an anthem singer, that's how you sing an anthem. That's how it means something to you. And then, you know, the storyline behind it, and I saw something in, I saw a picture of him in 95 getting signed by, 2007 being signed, his autograph by Skolt Brits. And it's just like the story that sits behind Sia is amazing. And that's what you want from rugby. That is what it can do. That's what sport can do. That's everything else. And they've done a fantastic job. I don't think anyone ever take away from what this group of players, you know, John Smith said to us the other day, they weren't supposed to win 4 years ago, but they did. And now they were supposed to win this year. And they find a way. And I can only say that in the most positive way of that group. You know, people will always argue, is it attractive? Is it this? Is it that? Well, no, it's not. It's about winning.
Are they the most formidable rugby team that either of you have seen?
The thing is, the beauty of rugby is you can skin a cat in many ways.
Absolutely.
And we said this last week, is they, South Africa, are unapologetically South African. We produce big men, and you have to come and do something to beat us.
Yes.
And unless you do, if you don't do it, they'll beat you.
Have you seen a better South African side than the one we've got here?
I generally don't think so. Maybe in terms overall, the World Cup, apart from the two quarterfinals in Paris, in terms of rugby played, wasn't outstanding. The conditions, the stress, maybe the heat at the beginning of the competition, I don't know. The refereeing, I don't know. Altogether, maybe everybody trying to replicate what happened in 2019, thinking you don't need to produce that much rugby because you might get penalized. But overall, no, I don't think they're the most outrageously positive rugby Springboks teams that we've seen.
Yeah, but they're not. But
they're not as a whole.
It's irrelevant.
But they are the best at what they do.
Yeah, and it's irrelevant. Like rugby, you know, last night, I hope that New Zealand would come and play their game and they would find the way. And they didn't. They played into their hands in the first half. They completely did everything that they shouldn't have done in South African hands. How they were only 12-6 down at half time, I have no clue. Yeah. And then what you felt in the second half was just a shift in momentum. And rugby is all about moments, building momentum, everything. And suddenly, like, the big black wheel started turning. And you're like, okay, they're going to win this. I was all the way through again, yeah, New Zealand will win this. And I actually think their subs actually probably killed them because they made substitutions that then disrupted what they were doing. And I felt if they just build it, you know, Will Jordan going off, you know, he didn't have the best game, Will Jordan. He looked fucked, actually, all the way through the game. But everything was just turning and it was building momentum and they were just slowly getting into the game. But it just didn't sit for them that day. And sometimes you've got to hang on to something. Mm-hmm. And you can never, never argue with this South African team. They know how to fucking hang on. Fingernails, toenails, everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know how they say there's more than one way of skinning a cat? There's also more than one way of enjoying rugby.
Yep.
You can enjoy the little flick pass of Jordy Barrett for the little volleyball pass, yep, you know, from Richie Munga under the with a ton of rain in the first half. That was beautiful. I thoroughly enjoy a kick chase of André Pollard melting a guy in the air and Siya Kolisi standing like a sprinter, you know, with hands on the ground, who melts Ardie Savea, you know, rushing him and then getting that penalty. I enjoy that type of rugby too. I enjoy, you know, a skillful kick, but I enjoy Siya Kolisi coming back after 4.5 months and showing how much this means to him and playing at the Principality at Wales. And you're thinking, what, this guy's been injured for a while and he's running around like there's no tomorrow. I enjoy those type of stories. I enjoy heart in rugby, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's why rugby will fit for what can appeal to everybody in a different way. Now, if you prefer the way that, you know, Ireland plays, then obviously you'll be disappointed by the Springboks winning. But I still think that it's a central part of rugby, the way that they perform it. And that's why I think they're well-deserved world champs.
I was going to say, they are a hell of a team. And you have to doff your cap, as you so correctly say. I just want to finish with a couple of questions on the All Blacks. And the heart breaks for Sam Kane, who will have woken up on the morning of the World Cup final and thought, Jesus, 11 o'clock tonight, I might lift the Webb Ellis Cup and that might be me forever. And instead he spends 55, 60 minutes watching with his head in his hands. I mean, it is thoughts on the incident, but then thoughts on the man. But look,
rugby is a game where they ask people to be something that they can't be. He wants to be physical. He wants to be dominant. I could have mitigated that down to a yellow, and now, but bear in mind, I haven't seen anything but what was on the TV screen at the stadium. I haven't rewatched it yet, but you know, we live in an era where he shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't. You know, it's a very rare. If I explain the minutiae of it, he is downfield. So when Jesse Creel picks up the ball, Jesse Creel is looking that way, running that way. He's not thinking he's going to get hit from someone behind, because we play a game where normally you can see all your hits coming at you.
Yeah.
But it's been a mess of what's gone on. And he's turned and he's gone, he's chasing Jesse from behind. And I understand why he stays up high, because what happens if Jesse just runs straight? He's going to make a tackle from behind. But Jesse sees him late and then steps into him. I could have mitigated down in the fact that I think he changes direction at the last minute. And if it goes to a disciplinary, it'll probably get mitigated down to a really low level. But he could have just melted him in the ribs. He didn't need to be up high.
But what about the impact of that decision for him and what you hope for from him?
Oh, it's a hard break. Every time he does that, there's a shot in the stands with Richie McCaw looking, from above with a dark eye. Well, he never really smiles anyway, but you know what I mean? Like looking disappointed. Oh, son, you're just not there yet. And the problem is he's going to have to win 2 World Cups as a captain to be there. So it's almost mission impossible for him. I do feel for him because I thought he played incredibly well against Ireland. Yeah,
I wish people stopped trying. Right, Richie McCaw is the GOAT, right? This guy has walked into his shoes. They're epic shoes. Yeah. He would get into pretty much every single rugby team around the world. But because he's fallen into the greatest
shoes. Never follows Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, it's a nightmare for him. And look, he's not a bad guy. He's not. There's no malice in the tackle. It's just rugby law now. He has to wear that by it. And shouldn't happen in a semi-final. Ironically, I think if Wayne Barnes had to. The bunker works for the reason that the bunker is. But if Wayne Barnes had done it, I think he would have mitigated that down. But
in a tough way of explaining it for Sam Kane, because he might not want to hear that, but I reckon he pays also the Shannon Fritzl yellow that stayed yellow in the first half. After 2 minutes, they have 10 minutes to say it. We had the clock. They took the decision at 9:58. They were shitting their pants about giving a red to Shannon Fritzl after 2 minutes in a World Cup final. And I reckon,
which, by the way, I don't even think it is a yellow.
Yeah, but unfortunately, with the new rules, it is. Is it anti a little bit rugby and what you and I believe in? Okay, that's a different conversation. But are they applying the law? Unfortunately, yes. You cannot fall.
I don't think bonger is even legal. So
that doesn't, though.
Well. Because if you're not legal, it's like when you go back, you have to be, you have to be legal to allow a penalty to influence you. I don't think he's legal, but but if you apply the letter of the law, then...
And so they let him get out with one after 2 minutes. And then when they're looking at Sam Kane, I think they have that in the back of their mind.
Yeah.
He is completely standing up because he's surprised, because he doesn't think he's going to have to tackle Jesse Creel. We've seen way worse high tackles, basically. Yeah. Way worse head chopping of shoulders straight into the head. And Ardie Savea, hopefully good for him, was absolutely fine. So it's a really tough one. I think he's paying that. Look, just the look on his face, he let his team down. Yeah, but that's not what he wanted to do.
It comes down to it, yeah. Disappointing. First half was just disappointing. I think that I do think the TMO played too big a role. No, there's a question within that. But New Zealand can't look at those decisions. They had enough opportunity in the second half to still win that game. And they will look at missed opportunity. Richie Mwanga has never dropped a ball like that in his life.
Yep.
A blatant, like, 2-on-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, the skill set of this guy, and it still is incredible to me that he dropped that ball, because they would have walked in a 2-on-1. So they had enough
opportunity. Foster's face said it all.
They have enough opportunity. They had still had enough opportunity to win it. You know, even Barrett with the kick, and even though he's just tugged it, they had enough opportunity.
But prior to that, there's 20 minutes of relentless attacks by the All Blacks. One disallowed try after a piece of magic of Richie Mwanga. Yeah. And that's exactly what you described. That's the Springboks hanging on for dear life, by a thread. And they just don't concede much, right? So the clock turns and they know they're ahead. It's just clever.
20 came.
New Zealand, South Africa before this game never conceded a try in a final.
I mean, it's remarkable. 4 finals, 4 wins. 20 came, 1 stood strongest. Are they worthy winners for you, South Africa?
I don't like the word deserved. Who deserves more to win?
So how would you describe South Africa as world champions, though?
Did they beat the quarterfinal? Did they win the quarterfinal legally? Yes. Do they win the semifinal legally? Yes. Do they win the final legally? Yes. It's hard to say who deserves it more. Is it about how much you train, how much you care, what's your talent? No. On the day, They delivered better than all their opponents. So I think they're a class world champion.
If not deserved, then worthy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, look.
The top six teams are worthy of being world champs.
So said this before, this is the greatest World Cup ever. And their win is the greatest World Cup win ever because of how many teams could have won it. There are five genuine teams.
And they played all of them pretty much, like you said.
And they had to beat pretty much all of them.
Yeah, that's
so great. Whether they win by, you know, in the future, no one's going to talk about referee decisions or anything else.
No.
Rugby World Cups are won by desire, fucking a team that is together, and common goal, everything else. And there was a French team that was that. They had that. I think this French team will go on and build from it. I think it's almost like the hurt of New Zealand in 2007 will be this French's igniter. You know, there was Ireland. We go... Obviously, New Zealand, South Africa,
France.
But Scotland even had their own. There were so many stories within this of teams that where they could go, and what South Africa do is never let themselves down. They are always in the fight. Mm. They find a way of keeping in every single fight, and if you don't finish them off, they'll come back. And that's what they do.
You know, I said to you I was done with rugby. I wanted to pause just by what Tin said. I'm already excited about Friday, the 2nd of February, France-Ireland in Marseille. Six Nations opener. Holy shit, that's going to be big. They're going to be well up for it.
Comes around quick, doesn't it? Comes around quick.
Is the boat there?
Or the cruise? Oh, my God. God help us all. So, listen, let's finish this off. Well done, South Africa. Fair credit. That's a hell of a win.
Unbelievable.
One of the greatest World Cup wins, full stop. As we have been recording this, Eddie Jones has resigned as head coach of Australia.
Oh, has he?
A penny for your thoughts. Because we're celebrating the greatness of South Africa. Australian rugby is...
There's bigger issues in Australia about participation, connection between schools and professional rugby. That they have to figure out. It doesn't matter who the coach is. So where do they go? I think they'd actually be better going with someone like Stuart Lancaster. Everyone's saying Cheka, but you have to understand that Czech...
I'm not sure they got the money to buy Stuart Lancaster out of Racing.
Yeah,
Czech, I think Australian finances are...
Czech was possibly the reason why they're in the position they are now, because he didn't engage with schools, he didn't send players to go and do days in schools. You need...
But he got them to a World Cup final.
Yes, but that's not enough. So generally, Australia rugby has hung its hat on the Wallabies winning, and Australian people are winners. They want to watch people who are winning, and if they suddenly you Wallabies lose and you don't have the infrastructure behind it, and you don't invest in what the schools are, NRL, AFL are in schools all the time trying to recruit the best athletes. That's why I said someone like Stuart would be amazing, because he knows how to coach young people, and he is a coach. He's a uplifter of skills. But what they do now, who knows? It's a bit of a disarray. For Eddie to say, go back and say he feels he's left them in a better position, I mean, it's the most ridiculous comment I've ever heard. But it's a shame. It's a shame.
But in a country where rugby union isn't the number one sport, a bit like France.
Number eight.
Wow.
And dropping.
But don't forget the next World Cup is hosted by them.
Well, so next 10 years.
We saw the influence that had on France when finally you give away all the politics and you put them aside. You're like, right, we can't mess this up now. Everybody's going to be looking at us. It's more than just rugby. It's like national pride type of thing. So you don't know what type of finances can be unlocked by the government if they decide that it's so be it. You don't know what type of school system they can put together in a couple of months when you decide to say, it's not about you and me and rugby or Aussie rules. It's just about national pride and our world reputation, and that really has completely turned something through in France, and maybe they can do it in Australia too.
Yeah.
I think the Lions can never be underestimated. Once every 12 years, you get this group that come, and no one else gets to play it. And no one, there's only three teams who get to play against the Lions, and they have to feed on that, and they have to use that to get the player group, whether they steal from the NRL, whatever it might be, they have to make this a focal point, because then they have 2027 and it rolls on to what, the Olympics and everything else. So they have to start a journey. The Institute of Sport used to be the guiding light, and at the moment it's not, and they have to find a way. We say a way a lot. They have to find a way to get that back, because everyone needs, it's the same as when we used to say we need a strong France in the Six Nations. We need a strong Australian team in rugby, because it's the history of the game.
And to make it really global, you're right.
Wow. I mean, it moves fast, doesn't it? Amazing. 12 hours ago, we had a World Cup final in which South Africa go 4-4 in terms of the finals they've played in. 12 hours on, we're already looking ahead to Australia 2027, and there is a lot of work to be done. Well done, The Box. Just before we finish up on this one, Tins, we've got a little plug to do, because it's been pretty hard keeping track of you. If our next plug could put a taser into their GPS or some sort of electronic shock system, I think that'd be very nice. But for now, Pitch Hero.
Yeah, well, I might have the perfect solution for you. Pitch Hero GPS, a game-changing performance tracker that allows you to keep have the same tools as the pros. You can track your speed, distance, intensity on the pitch. You instantly can view this data left, right, and center. It's basically being a professional. When I used to plug my GPS data into my dog and let him do running around, and everyone thought I worked really hard. This is what it is. You can download it all to your smartphone. You can every training session, you can see where you've done, what you've done. So yeah, it's time to push. Time to push yourself, Alex, to the limit, I think.
We've certainly done that, I think it's fair to say. Pitcher, if you could build one with an electronic shock device, one that tests alcohol levels and one that also tracks bedtimes, that would be very useful for the next World Cup.
No bedtimes.
Let's delete that data. Turn off location services. I'm going to get a couple of these, actually, for Hask and Tins for the next few months. If you are looking to raise your game this season, our friends at Pitcher GPS are giving the good listeners of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby an amazing deal. Right now, you can head to pitcherogps.com and use the promo code RUGBY20 to get 20% off the Pitch Hero GPS player bundle. As mentioned, I'm sure you know by now, our World Cup after party starts on Tuesday. We are heading out across the UK.
I'm very nervous about this.
Are you? Yeah. Are you going to turn up or not? I just arrive in LA.
I'm very underprepared.
Right, exactly. It's actually billed as a World Cup after party. I think it's just a World Cup hangover party where we'll sort of get dribbled onto stage and see what happens. We are off on a 15-night theatre tour, though, from Plymouth in the southwest to Edinburgh in Scotland. We'll be stopping off near you, so go get your tickets at cuffandtaylor.com. I promise you it'll be a great night out. And the website has the full list of venues. We've got some outstanding material to share with you, I think.
Which we haven't written.
Apparently, which we will get to. Well done. Are you sad it's over? It's sort of don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. How do you leave France 2023 as someone who's been so pivotal to all things here in the host nation? 11 million last night, is that right, watching?
11 million on the equivalent of ITV in France, TF1. Look, the support has been sensational. 10 million for England-Argentina, you know, in Marseille, just the on the second day of after the opener in Paris. It's been a tremendous World Cup. It's been a great experience for France, but it's been so disappointing for the last 2 weeks to see everybody else play instead of us, that I'm ready to go home, press pause a little bit, and finally, you know, say that this is over.
Good. You need to get to bed. We've got lots to do on Tuesday. Well done. Thank you very much, Steve, for joining us. Thank you, one and all, for the feedback, the thoughts, the ideas, some of the comments as well, throughout the course of France 2023. We have been The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. We are a Folding Pocket production. This episode, of course, with our good friends at Continental Tires, has been produced by Tom Edwards. See you soon.